Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I often don't talk about the Supreme Court until they've actually ruled on something, but here they've accepted for argument a case. So it looks like they're probably going to rule on it. I say probably because they don't have to do anything they don't want to do. But the Supreme Court has taken up a case concerning Americans with Disabilities Act tester of hotels. And a man sent me this story and said, Steve, I work for a company that's dealt with ADA issues before. So I'm not going to mention his name. But Devin Cole wrote this story for CNN, and 60 Minutes did a piece on this not so long ago. I remember seeing the piece on 60 Minutes, where there are people who apparently for a living just go around and go into businesses and look for things that they perceive to be violations of the ADA. And the way the ADA is written, it implies that people can just contact the business and threaten to sue them. And say, you know, we've been in your business. It doesn't comply with the rules of the ADA. And therefore, if you want us to go away, you got to pay us. And I'm summarizing it quite a bit, but we'll get to that here. But the point is that the people who are complaining often aren't customers, and they're often not disabled. They say that they are testing these businesses for their ADA compliance. So, for instance, if you don't know this, and you would have noticed this quite a bit since 1990, depending on your age, that a lot of places started in installing wheelchair ramps. So a lot of businesses prior to 1990, you might come up to a business and it's got steps. How do you get in there if you're in a wheelchair? Well, later on, they installed a ramp because the ADA suggests that you should if your business is open to the public. So the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday agreed to hear a case concerning whether a self-appointed tester of the ADA has the right to sue hotels over alleged violations of the civil rights law. The court was asked to take the case by a hotel chain which owns and operates a hotel in Maine. The company was sued by a woman who they say has filed hundreds of lawsuits against hotels across the country claiming that their websites are not in compliance with ADA rules that require hotels to disclose information about how accessible they are to individuals with disabilities. Now, the woman admits that she does not intend to visit the hotels. She doesn't stay in them. All she does is she looks at their website and says, oh, it doesn't contain this disclosure. And she says the lawsuits are brought in an effort to force the hotels to update their websites to be in compliance with the law. Now, a district court dismissed her lawsuit against the hotel chain, ruling that she lacked the procedural threshold known as standing needed to bring the suit. But an appeals court later ruled in her favor. The concept of standing, as they just pointed out, is whether you have the legal right to bring a lawsuit. And standing, it's that's the really simple explanation of it. But you talk about this in civil procedure in law school for quite some time because it can get complicated. But generally speaking, okay, I get hit by a car. If the driver of the car, operator of the automobile was negligent, I have standing to sue them because I was injured by their negligence. I'm the victim of negligence. I have standing to sue. Does someone else have standing to sue when I get hit by a car? Possibly. My family members might if I got killed, and they could step up and say, well, we represent the estate and et cetera. And so there's different ways that standing can occur. But the question is, there's a law called the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA. And the allegation is that there's a hotel that's got a website that's missing a piece of information on it that violates the ADA when the information is not there. Does somebody who's not disabled have standing to see the website and go, oh, it's missing this information, that's a violation of the ADA? And then they file the lawsuit against the hotel saying, you guys are violating the ADA, pay me to go away. So now the justices will decide next term whether she has the right to act as a tester toward hotels she doesn't intend to visit. She's not there. She's never been there. She has no intention of ever going there, but she's simply testing this. And by the way, some people are going to say, but Steve, this is so obvious what they're doing wrong here. The law shouldn't allow people to make money off that statute that way. Well, believe it or not, you can't make money off the ADA that way. You don't get paid damages if you find somebody violating the ADA like that. Now, your attorney fees can get paid. And if you're an attorney, you can claim they're your fees. That might be a problem. But there is actually no thing in the law that says if you find somebody violating the ADA and you sue them, you can get damages for that. That's not what the law does. The law does not do that. So this woman is one of numerous testers who have collectively brought thousands of lawsuits under the ADA. A cottage industry has arisen in which uninjured plaintiffs lob ADA lawsuits of questionable merit while using the threat of attorney fees to extract settlement payments. That's what the hotel said in their court papers. These lawsuits have burdened small businesses, clogged the judicial system, and undermined the executive branch's exclusive authority to enforce federal law. The hotel run by this chain has a notice posted to its website that says, "Please note, unfortunately, we do not have the capabilities to provide pet-friendly or ADA-compliant lodging. We apologize for the inconvenience." And so apparently that's the language that was missing, but it's there now. And so I guess this is a federal case, because it is. The woman had urged the justices to take the case, with her attorneys arguing in court papers that they should affirm the appeals court ruling, which said this was a good case. They wrote, "Without civil rights advocates such as this plaintiff, there would be no enforcement of the ADA." Now, a couple of things you should know. You should wonder and say, Steve, if women and men like this aren't out there testing the law, who would enforce the law? Oh, I don't know, the Justice Department? The Justice Department's actually empowered to follow up on complaints about the ADA. So if you actually went someplace that was not ADA compliant, you could file a complaint with the Justice Department. That's one of the things you could actually do. However, if you are disabled and you went someplace and couldn't get accommodated and you thought it was a violation of the ADA, you can file a lawsuit. And it won't cost you anything because your attorney fees will get paid by the defendants if you, in fact, succeed. Now, you might say, but Steve, let's talk about something, because I know deep down that as a lawyer, you're going to be looking at what the law actually says, because that's often where these problems arise. What does the law actually say? So I actually think I found what is the heart of the matter here, the actual fulcrum of the discussion. And it says that remedies set forth in this statute, remedies set forth shall be remedies this title provides to any person alleging discrimination on the basis of disability. Now you might say, Steve, it says to any person. That woman's a person. Well, it doesn't stop at that word, though, does it? It says provides to any person alleging discrimination on the basis of disability. Is she alleging that she was discriminated against on the basis of disability? And I would say, no, she's not. She's not disabled that we know of. No mention was made of that. They just simply said that she's a tester. She's a tester. And she also says that she had no intention of going to this hotel, never went there. So how was she discriminated against? There was language missing from a website that she looked at. But does that mean she's been discriminated against on the basis of disability? And I would suggest, and I suspect there's a good chance of this, that the Supreme Court is going to look at this and go, we got to read this. The first thing you do in a statute, you don't pick it apart. Many people think lawyers find a statute and start picking it apart. And don't get me wrong. I taught law school for 10 years. It was important for the class I was in that I was teaching. But I've actually gone through a statute before, almost word for word, in every piece of punctuation. And why is this an and not an or? Why is that comma there? If that comma wasn't there, what would it mean? Because oftentimes it does matter. Oftentimes it does. But the first thing you do at a statute when you're studying it is you read it in total, okay, and ask, does it have plain meaning? The first thing you do is read it. What does it say? Then you can start picking it apart if necessary. But the plain language of a statute is important. So it says, and I shortened this a little bit simply because there's a couple strings of phrases that aren't important to the meaning of the statute. But section 202, go ahead and look it up. Remedies set forth shall be remedies this title provides to any person alleging discrimination on the basis of disability. So if you are alleging discrimination on the basis of disability, the remedy is available to you. Are you doing that when you Poke around on the internet and simply find websites that don't have that language and start filing lawsuits or threatening lawsuits. And I would suggest that the addition of the words following any person, that is any person alleging discrimination on the basis of disability, would imply that you actually need to be the person that this happened to have standing to complain about it. That would kind of make sense, wouldn't it? We pass a law that says that people who are hurt by the failure of people to abide by this law can bring an action to try to correct it. That would make the most sense. Do you think the drafters of the ADA back in 1990 anticipated there'd be professional plaintiffs who just go around and threaten lawsuits? So I've spoken to people in business, small mom and pop businesses, for instance, and they said somebody came out there with a tape measure one day and measured how high their ramp was at one end, what the slope of the ramp was, and how long it was, and the surface of the ramp, and they dug into the Code of Federal Regulations, the CFRs, and found all kinds of things such as that ramp is off by half a degree. And if you don't correct that, we're going to sue you. And quite often they say, but if you don't want us to sue you, pay us our attorney fees of, you know, a few thousand dollars. And I think I saw someplace, although I saw the numbers were wildly varying as to how much it costs a business, but it depends on who comes after you. And of course, it's kind of like, gee, that's a nice building you got there. Be a shame if it burned down. Because if you pay one person off but don't fix the angle of the ramp, you got to pay somebody else off who finds out that you paid that money. And it could just keep happening. So it'll be an interesting case. I'm glad the Supreme Court took it up. I like the ADA. I actually think it's a good law. I have friends. In fact, I've got a few viewers on this channel who I know for a fact are disabled. We talk about these things. And I got to say hello to my good friend Howard, who I know is with us right now on this video. And Howard and I discuss these things. And he explains to me many of these things from his perspective. And it's enlightening because I don't think about this stuff. I don't. You know, I get out of my car and I walk up the stairs or I walk up the ramp, whichever one's closer, and I don't stop and think, what would it be like to roll a wheelchair up this ramp? What would that be like? Or what would it be like to enter this building and try to conduct business if I was blind? I don't think about those things. So I'm glad that the ADA is there. And I think it's done some very, very good things. But I don't think that the best use of the act is for people who are not disabled to simply go out and look for technical violations at businesses and then threaten to sue them or sue them, but say you'll drop the lawsuit upon the payment of your attorney fees. I don't think that's what the law is intended for. So wait and see what happens, but the Supreme Court has accepted it for hearing. The gentleman who sent this to me, thank you very much for sending it. Devin Cole wrote it for CNN. Supreme Court takes up case concerning Americans with Disabilities Act tester at hotels, but it would have widespread implications if the court said testers won't do it unless they've actually been discriminated against and actually are disabled. That would be the ruling that we're talking about. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Truth is ever to be found in simplicity and not in the multiplicity and confusion of things.